The scripture reading is from Luke 5, 1 through 11 in the New Revised Standard Version. You may follow along in your own Bible app, or on page 836 in the Pew Bible. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Genesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. When he sat down and taught the crowd from the boat, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish, their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled their boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for from now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. May God bless the reading and hearing of his holy word.
Thank you for reading scripture for us this morning. Welcome to all of you who are here today. I know we have quite a few guests here that are part of the scouting program, and I'm Pastor John, by the way, and welcome to you. I'm glad that you could be with us for our worship service this morning. On a typical Sunday, this is the time where I begin to teach a sermon, a message based on the scripture that's been read for us, but today I've asked one of our church members, Corey Adams, to come up, and I'm going to interview him. And let him share a little of his testimony of his life and his faith with each and every one of you. I think he has some wonderful things to say. Corey, thank you for being here this morning. I know there are people here that know you, but because they are a part of the Eden family, but we have many that don't or are new here. Could you tell everybody briefly how you came to be a part of Eden Church? Also, how you came into a relationship with Jesus Christ in that process, so that people can know a little bit about your own faith journey?
Okay. First of all, my mic on? First of all, I want to tell you that I was not always a Christian. I did not was not raised in a Christian family. My parents did the legal thing and sent me to a Catholic church to get confirmed and to be, you know, what had to be done for when you were a kid. But they didn't attend church on themselves. They would just send us to church. And so going to church never was important to me. It was a difficult, you know, it was kind of uncomfortable. I didn't feel comfortable with the priest or anything like that. So when I got my confirmation, I was done. I didn't continue to go. I was actually believed for most of my life, probably into my 40s, that I was an atheist, that, you know, I didn't have a faith at all in God and in Jesus. I've heard of Jesus, but I didn't have any real connection to it. How we got to be coming to Eden Church, and we started coming in 2000, was my wife and I. After many years of trying to have children, we tried adoption, and we hired a lawyer, and the lawyer said, and this is the best advice he gave me the whole time I was there, was that it would look good on your application if you belonged to a church. So we talked to our neighbors who were coming to Eden, and we started coming. To my surprise, the roof didn't cave in on me. I didn't, you know, the music was easy to listen to. The sermon was easy to listen to. And I could, you know, it was something I enjoyed doing on a Sunday morning now. But I wasn't changed. I was still living a sinful life. I didn't, you know, I was living to please me and not to please anybody else. And that went on for quite a while, where I would go to church on Sunday and I would just live in the world the rest of the week. And the church started having problems. Pastor Coode left, and eventually Pastor John became the pastor here. And he, in one sermon shortly after he got here, and I can't tell you what the sermon was about. But in that sermon, he said one word that affected me. He said, "Many of you in the church are addicted to pornography." And all of a sudden, I realized he was talking to me. And it got my attention. God was talking to me. So that's how I started coming to church. That's how I started getting a connection with Christ. I'm not one that can say that I was born again on this particular day. I think God worked on me for a number of years with little tidbits of, you know, this is important. I'm going to say that we were coming to Wednesday night Lenten service, and one of our and we came every week. We made a commitment. We're going to come every week to the Lenten service, and the last Wednesday, our friends said, "Well, why don't you, since you've already become accustomed to coming on Wednesday nights, why don't you come to Bible study on Wednesday nights?" And my response to them was, "Well, I have to cut grass on Wednesday nights. I can't do that. I got to cut grass." And I got home, and that bothered me. I was like, "What kind of excuse is that? I got to cut grass." So we started coming to Wednesday night Bible study. And that's really where I learned the story of Christ and how Christ is in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. He's in the Bible the whole time. It's a love story. That's how I learned to read the Bible, as a love story to Christians. So that's...
And somewhere on that study, going to Wednesday nights, you came to be a person, and I think you said this at 8 o'clock, that you have eternal life, that you know, yeah, Jesus Christ is your Savior.
I learned that if I trust in Him, if I love Him, if I believe in Him, that I will be saved. I will, you know, have eternal life. And you know, that sounds, to somebody who doesn't believe in God, that sounds, you know, pie in the sky thing. But when you read the story, the Bible, and how it tells you this, then all of a sudden it makes more sense. And I was learning from people who were a lot smarter than I was. I thought I knew it all before then. Now I realized I didn't know anything. So, but I'm still a work in progress. I'm still learning about Christ and how He has saved me, and He saved everyone who truly believes in Him.
Corey, to follow up with that, I've known you now for quite a few years, and I've seen that growth in faith and understanding in your life. How has that faith in Jesus impacted you? How has it begun to change your life and to change who you are?
Well, it made me realize that, you know, I can't live for myself. And just because it feels good doesn't mean you do it. I have victory over the pornography issue that I had because I started saying to myself, this is not pleasing to God. This just isn't right. I'm not doing it. I was hurting my wife. I was hurting, you know, myself with this addiction that it, and it was an addiction. Satan had control over me. I was definitely I was coming to church on Sunday and living in the world on Monday. That changed because of my commitment to Christ.
I appreciate you sharing that, and you and I have talked on numerous occasions that pornography is a very big issue in a lot of people's lives. One of the reasons it has such hold over people in the church is because we don't ever talk about it, and we don't ever admit that that's a real struggle. So I appreciate the fact that you are up here being vulnerable before this church body about that struggle, and I know that you have a heart to help people. So I've already watched you one-on-one interacting with and mentoring men that have issues with pornography. And I would just tell any of you, if you are a person that's wrestling with that, Corey Adams is a good person to talk to, and he will understand where you're coming from and certainly be able to share with you how Christ can help to free you from that burden in your life. So yeah. I appreciate you
I appreciate you bringing it up 10 years ago.
And if I remember, I brought it up because I used to have an issue with it too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very prominent thing in the life
that was the first time I've ever been in a church that they talked about something mm-hmm. like that. Usually people go to church and they want to feel good. This was making me feel like, okay, I'm a sinner and I need to repent.
Right.
And that's the repentance was so important. So
absolutely. Corey, I think most people that know you here know that you have cancer. You're on our prayer list, and we mention you occasionally on Sunday mornings in prayer. Can you tell everybody where you are on this journey of cancer and how your faith has impacted this journey as you look back over where you've been so far, but also as you look ahead
yeah.
to what's in store as you continue to fight cancer?
Okay. When I turned 50, I got my very first PSA test. And the PSA was like 400 and something, and the doctor was like, something's wrong with that test, it's way too high, I'm going to send you to another lab to get another test. And that test, confirmed that I had this cancer, it was 400 and something. The doctor told me at that time, anything over 4 is considered cancer. So they sent me to get my biopsy, and that confirmed it. Eventually, after going from one doctor to the other, the oncologist I was seeing here in Maryville sent me to Siteman. He said, he's at this level, this guy's at this level that I'm going to send you to because you're too young to have this severe of cancer. Well, that was in 2010. And now it is. I was 50. Now I just turned 60. So the doctor that I've been going to at Siteman has done a good job. But one of the things he told me was that the treatments that they have for cancer, for my kind of cancer, which was incurable, no surgery would help. A difficult diagnosis. He told me that the treatments they have work, but they only work for a while. And so my PSA came down from the very first treatment. And for the first 5 years or so, I would have said that I was doing fine. If you asked me if I had cancer, I wouldn't have known. I felt fine. My PSA is now over 1,000. So I am definitely struggling more and more with the pain and just difficulty of doing, walking upstairs. Just standing for 10 minutes now is painful for me. And I take some pretty severe pain medicine on a regular basis to help with that, but it doesn't always take the pain away. It just maybe numbs it for a little while.
So, Corey, obviously you have a very serious diagnosis, and at least in the short term, there's no way for you to be cancer-free apart from a miracle. How does your faith inform this journey that you're on? Because I have watched you be in a lot of pain, and watching you climb the steps here and knowing that it's not easy for you. How do you handle that? I mean, how do you get how do you draw encouragement from God? Or
Well,
I don't want you to paint a false picture. I want people to hear the real story. So
knowing that I'll tell the full story here. Knowing that I have eternal life, that I belong. We just did a sermon series, belonging to God. I know I belong to God. I am adopted by God, and I have eternal life, and I do look forward to that day when I see Him face to face. I don't necessarily want to, rush it, but when that day comes, I will be thankful and praise Him for eternity. And as far as the, how I deal with it on a day-by-day basis, I pray every day. Sometimes my prayers are, thank you, Lord, and I'm, for relieving the pain. Other times my prayers are, Lord, I'm in pain. Help me right now. I need pain. I need some relief. And I'll be crying. My prayers are simple. I pray for other people. I try to pray for other people. Because I know that I'm not the worst one out there. I know there's other people out there who suffer and struggle every day. So, but I definitely trust in God, and He is my Savior, my Redeemer, and that He will set me free from this pain. The ultimate healing is when it's over with. Mm-hmm. So
for you, death is healing. When you'll no longer be battling cancer, the victory will be yours.
Exactly.
Okay. Corey, our church family has walked with you down this road and watched the decline in your health and prayed for you and attempted to love on you through all this. What advice would you give our church family? There are a lot of people out there that are struggling with cancer and other major illnesses. How can we best be the hands and feet of Jesus? In other words, what works when you're the recipient of that care? What did you feel like, man, this was beneficial to me versus this is not helpful?
Well, I'm going to say this. This church family has been very, it's a family to me. I know all the prayers that are sent out in my behalf, and I know I receive cards regularly from people. I know that I'm loved here. I can't imagine what I would be going through if I wasn't at church, if I was just on my own dealing with this. There's really nothing that you can do to change the situation, but you can love on people. You can pray for people. You can just, hold their hands as they're going through this. That's what gets me through it.
So I
certainly love coming to church on Sunday when I can.
So you want people to engage you and not like, well, I don't want to talk to Corey because I don't want to bring it up or ask how you're doing. You want your church family.
I think it's important. That's important because without that, nobody knows what's going on. If you don't engage with your church family, nobody knows what's going on, whether it's good things or bad things.
Very, very good, Corey. Thank you. So you have a captive audience here. In our scripture reading, it was about Simon Peter and the others choosing to forsake everything and follow Christ. And to put Jesus first in your life? What kind of challenge or word of advice or word of encouragement would you offer to our church family today about how important Christ should be in your life and how important he is in your life?
Well, I'm going to tell the same story I told at 8 o'clock. One of the first Bible studies I went to was a book. We were studying a book called Not a Fan. And in the very last chapter of that book, the pastor was talking to the family of a deceased man, and the family is telling the pastor that he loved to play golf, he loved to go fishing, he loved to do this and that. The whole time they're telling him this, the pastor is hoping in his heart that they will say he loved Jesus. I want Pastor John, when I pass, to preach that I love Jesus, because nothing else mattered. What your golf score doesn't matter. What your bowling average doesn't matter. When you die, the only thing that matters is that you love Jesus. And I tell the young people here, I would tell them that be thankful that you are here with your family and they are putting that foundation in at a young age. It took me till I was 45 before I found that foundation in my heart that I know that Jesus loves me. And I regret I have certain regrets for the years before then. And I'm just so thankful for that God has reached me and touched me and saved me.
Corey, on behalf of our church family, I want to thank you for your willingness to come up here and share with us today. Just to let our church members know, this almost didn't happen. I mean, earlier in the week, you were hurting really, really badly.
I'm hurting really, really badly right now.
Yes. I know that you are. And I appreciate your enduring through your pain to be a servant of Christ. Let's pray for Corey. Heavenly Father, thank you for this place where we've come to love one another and to love you. I thank you so much for all that you're doing for my brother Corey. Thank you that he has eternal life and that in the midst of this terrible diagnosis, he's not the victim, he is the victor. I thank you so much for his willingness to be vulnerable and to share from his life. Father, you know his pain. Lord Jesus, you've experienced pain yourself on the cross. Bless him and draw near to him and strengthen him by your Spirit that he can be faithful to you throughout all of his days. Father, be with Susan, his wife, and bless and encourage her. I thank you for her faithfulness to him and her support of her husband in the times of difficulty. Thank you for their love that's grown stronger year by year. And I pray that both of them would be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Father, thank you for allowing us to hear Corey's words. May we not soon forget them, but may they be a word of challenge and encouragement to us all. We commit him and his wife, Susan, and our church into your eternal care, Lord. We belong to Jesus, and that brings us comfort beyond measure. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.